Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. Today we have special coverage of the extraordinary events that have been taking place in Australian politics. Prime Minister Tony Abbott is no longer the Prime Minister. He has been replaced by Malcolm Turnbull, the former Communications Minister. It all played out because earlier this week, Malcolm Turnbull handed in his resignation and then decided to challenge Tony Abbott for the leadership of the Liberal Party. Tony Abbott said, well, he will hold on to his position, but that didn't exactly happen. We have a lot of coverage on this and how it all played out. Louise Yaxley is the ABC's political correspondent in Canberra, Australia, and she speaks next to Mark Covine.
It looks like there will be a change of Prime Minister. I say that based on sources indicating to me that Mr. Turnbull has the numbers. That's why he has acted today. And we haven't yet heard from the Prime Minister, but we are expecting to very shortly. We'll have more of that in the program. But we have a clash of the two men who, the former leader, Malcolm Turnbull, and the current leader, Tony Abbott, and Mr. Turnbull made this dramatic announcement, as you say, with Julie Bishop earlier today having gone to see the Prime Minister, indicating that Julie Bishop is also on side with Mr. Turnbull looking for a change in leadership. Mr. Turnbull has quit the Cabinet, so that classic formation of how you bring on a challenge. Mr. Turnbull's directly challenged Mr. Abbott.
That's exactly what Mr. Abbott did when he challenged Mr. Turnbull.
Exactly, that mechanism of going to the backbench. It looks like the numbers are there with Mr. Turnbull, and so that would mean a new Prime Minister.
Well, we'll come back to you in a minute, Louise, but first let's hear your report on today's events.
A little while ago, I met with the Prime Minister and advised him that I would be challenging him for the leadership of the Liberal Party.
Just after question time, Malcolm Turnbull walked into a parliamentary courtyard to announce his challenge.
I have consulted with many, many colleagues, many Australians, many of our supporters in every walk of life. And this course of action has been urged on me by many people over a long period of time. It is clear enough that the government is not successful in providing the economic leadership that we need. It is not the fault of individual ministers. Ultimately, the Prime Minister has not been capable of providing the economic leadership our nation needs. He has not been capable of providing the economic confidence that business needs.
The persistent critique of Tony Abbott is that he's taken the combative style he adopted as a successful opposition leader into the Prime Minister's office, and that hasn't worked. Mr. Turnbull's sales pitch to take back the leadership homed in on that weakness.
Now, we are living as Australians in the most exciting time. The big economic changes that we're living through around in here and around the world offer enormous challenges and enormous opportunities. And we need a different style of leadership. We need a style of leadership that explains those challenges and opportunities, explains the challenges and how to seize the opportunities. A style of leadership that respects the people's intelligence, that explains these complex issues, and then sets out the course of action we believe we should take, and makes a case for it. We need advocacy, not slogans. We need to respect the intelligence of the Australian people. Now, if we continue with Mr. Abbott as Prime Minister, it is clear enough what will happen. He will cease to be Prime Minister and he'll be succeeded by Mr. Shorten. You only have to see the catastrophically reckless approach of Mr. Shorten to the China-Australia Free Trade Agreement, surely one of the most important foundations of our prosperity, to know that he is utterly unfit to be Prime Minister of this country, and yet so he will be if we do not make a change.
The leadership talk emerged because all opinion polls show that the coalition would lose the next election.
We have lost 30 news polls in a row. It is clear that the people have made up their mind. about Mr. Abbott's leadership.
Tony Abbott survived a leadership scare in February when the late Don Randall was among those pushing for a spill. After that party room showdown, Mr. Abbott promised there'd be no more captain's picks. In other words, he'd adopt a more consultative style of decision-making. But Mr. Turnbull says it hasn't happened.
We need to restore traditional cabinet government. There must be an end to policy on the run and captain's calls. We need to be truly consultative with colleagues, members of parliament, senators, and the wider public. We need an open government.
Malcolm Turnbull concedes this isn't ideal timing, coming just days before the Canning by-election.
But regrettably, there are a few occasions that are entirely ideal for tough calls and tough decisions like this. The alternative, if we were to wait and this issue, these problems were to roll on and on and on, is we will get no clear air. The fact is, we are maybe 10 months, 11 months away from the next election. Every month lost is a month of lost opportunities. We have to make a change for our country's sake, for the government's sake, for the party's sake. From a practical point of view, a change of leadership would improve our prospects in Canning, although I'm very confident with the outstanding candidate we have that we will be successful.
6 years ago, Mr. Abbott won the Liberal leadership from Malcolm Turnbull by just one vote. He's now quit his position as Communications Minister in Cabinet. Mr. Turnbull and the Liberal Deputy Julie Bishop held a meeting with Mr. Abbott shortly before his announcement to tell the Prime Minister of this challenge.
The only way we can ensure that we remain a high-wage, generous social welfare net, first-world society is if we have outstanding economic leadership, if we have strong business confidence. That is what we in the Liberal Party are bound to deliver, and it's what I am committed to deliver if the party room gives me their support as leader of the party.
That was Malcolm Turnbull, the new Prime Minister of Australia. Well, anyway, that's how it played out on Monday. And then guess what happened? On Tuesday, he was sworn in as Prime Minister. Now, what is the future for Tony Abbott? Tony Abbott did speak to the press, but he gave no indication on what he was planning to do and if he was planning to even leave Parliament. We have this report from Tom Igudin.
For hour after hour, Mr. Abbott was neither seen nor heard in public since his defiant walk into last night's Liberal Party room meeting to decide his future, declaring himself very confident he'd win. By midday today, when Parliament resumed, he'd still not been spotted. The opposition's manager of business, Tony Burke, moved a motion calling for clarity in the coalition's leadership.
I don't know whether we've got two prime ministers or none at the moment.
40 minutes later, Mr. Abbott emerged in the Prime Minister's courtyard to give surely the hardest speech of his lengthy political career.
Quite a crowd today. Thank you for being here.
Mr. Abbott thanked the voters who elected him to office, his family, his party, the military and his staff, once more defending his controversial chief of staff, Peter Credlin, who he said had been unfairly maligned. He listed his achievements, free trade agreements, stopping the boats and job creation, and expressed disappointment in not seeing through more of his plans. He pledged to make the transfer of power to Malcolm Turnbull as easy as possible, promising there'll be no undermining of the new Prime Minister. But as his remarks continued, his tone darkened.
The nature of politics has changed in the past decade. We have more polls and more commentary than ever before, mostly sour, bitter character assassination.
Poll-driven panic, he said, was the culprit of his downfall with the aid of a familiar accessory to the fact.
A febrile media culture has developed that rewards treachery. And if there's one piece of advice I can give to the media, it's this. Refuse to print self-serving claims that the person making them won't put his or her name to. Refuse to connive at dishonour by acting as the assassin's knife.
He took no questions and retreated back into the Prime Minister's office for the last time as the holder of that title, as his staff applauded. He gave no inkling of whether he'd leave Parliament or stay. Former Prime Minister John Howard soon spoke and was asked if he agreed with Mr Abbott's assessment of modern politics.
I'm not into blaming the media. I hope, generally speaking, I haven't done that in my career because they have a very important role to play in public life. But I do think that we are living in a more supercharged, frenetic, top-of-the-head environment.
Mr Howard, once Mr Abbott's mentor in Parliament, was asked about reports he'd advised him 6 months ago to make Malcolm Turnbull Treasurer.
I've given Mr Abbott quite a bit of advice over the last few years. He's taken note of some of that advice, and he's rejected some of that advice.
Now, Prime Minister Turnbull offered his tribute to his defeated foe in Parliament.
We owe a great debt to Tony Abbott. We thank him for his leadership. We thank him for his service. He is a great Australian.
Understandably enough, Mr Abbott was not in Parliament to hear the tributes. The opposition leader, Bill Shorten, spoke fondly of the now member for Warringah.
He is a fierce proponent of his views, a formidable proponent of his views, a ruthless advocate for what he believes in.
On Tuesday, Malcolm Turnbull was sworn in as the new Prime Minister of Australia, the 29th Prime Minister at Government House. When it came, the coup was quick and deadly. Within 6 hours of announcing he would challenge Prime Minister Tony Abbott, Mr. Turnbull had secured the position he'd been angling for months. Tony Abbott called on a late-night spill, which led to his loss by 10 votes, 54 to 44. Several of his key backers switched sides, betting their political survival needed a change of leaders. It is the third axing of a prime minister in 5 years and undercuts the coalition's criticism of Labour's disunity. And while Labour strategists may welcome this, the Labour leader, Bill Shorten, will not be looking forward to the prospect of a new prime minister as his opponent. We have this report from Peter Donald.
If he slept at all last night, Malcolm Turnbull woke up this morning to find himself hours away from being sworn in as Prime Minister. It's a job he has long aspired to, but as he stepped out from his Canberra home, he was far from triumphant.
This is a great time to seize the day. I'm filled with optimism, and we'll be setting out in the weeks ahead and the months ahead, we'll be setting out more of those foundations that will ensure our prosperity in the years ahead. There has been a change of Prime Minister, but we are a very, very strong government, a very strong country with a great potential, and we will realise that potential working very hard together. This is a turn of events I did not expect, I have to tell you, but it's one that I'm privileged to undertake and one that I'm certainly up to. Thanks a lot. Now I must go. Okay.
Far from enjoying herself, Malcolm Turnbull's new deputy, Julie Bishop, told Sky doing away with Tony Abbott was tough.
It's the toughest thing I've ever had to do in political life. It's been a very difficult decision for everyone, but it became obvious to me over recent days that Tony had lost the confidence of a majority of the party room and that he had asked for 6 months to turn things around and that hadn't occurred, and the view of a majority of the party room was that they wanted to have a change of leader.
Some high-profile supporters of Tony Abbott in last night's leadership ballot are pledging loyalty to the new leader in an early attempt to avoid the fatal division that racked the Rudd and Gillard governments. Defence Minister Kevin Andrews says the reason he stood unsuccessfully against Julie Bishop in the vote for deputy leader was to show Malcolm Turnbull conservatives in the party are willing to work with him.
We've got to be unified. We've got to be what he described last night as the broad church.
Another Liberal Conservative, Corey Bernardi, was less restrained on Sky.
There is, of course, a risk that those who are chief amongst the plotters will be rewarded. And what that message sends is that if you destabilise, if you plot, if you undermine and you scheme, you will get the fruits of your labour.
Malcolm Turnbull is still deciding on his new front bench. Last night, the Small Business Minister, Bruce Bilson, was an open supporter of Tony Abbott, flanking him on his way into the party room ballot. Today, he swung behind Mr Turnbull. On Sky, Bruce Bilson was doing his best to hang on to his job.
I think they're looking for a bit of zip-zip and perpetual optimism. That's my role. But what a great story. That would be up to Malcolm.
But you're obviously willing
I'd love to keep doing my work for small business.
Today's Adelaide Advertiser reports Christopher Pyne will be the new Defence Minister, although Kevin Andrews wants to stay on.
It takes a long time to get on top of the complexity of defence, and I would be happy to continue in this role because I don't think it's good for the security and the safety of this country and for the well-being of our defence forces to keep changing defence ministers.
Independent Senator from South Australia Nick Xenophon hopes a change of minister will lead to the next fleet of submarines being built in Adelaide.
Presumably Christopher Pyne wouldn't take the position of Defence Minister unless he was confident that the subs would be built in South Australia.
The tearing down of a first-term Prime Minister is all eerily familiar to Labor. Labor Senator Sam Dastyari.
The idea that there's not going to be blood spilt as a result of this is ridiculous. They have brought down a first-term Prime Minister within 2 years. And I can safely say we know how this drama ends. And I'm not sure it's going to end in a good place for them.
Privately, some in Labor are worried about their new opponent, Malcolm Turnbull, and the shift to the centre he is expected to bring. Labor leader Bill Shorten has been polling better as leader than the unpopular Tony Abbott.
One down, one to go.
This morning, Mr Shorten addressed the Labor caucus, putting on a brave face.
But in order to gain the Liberal Party leadership and the Prime Ministership, Malcolm Turnbull has sold out all of the things which he always said were very important to him. What have happened to climate change, Malcolm? Instead, he wants to pay big polluters to pollute. And you have a look at marriage equality. Now, all of a sudden, he wants a taxpayer-funded opinion poll to delay marriage equality for all Australians. So his conclusion, after 2 years of an out-of-touch, arrogant Liberal government, is just to change the salesman.
Now let's talk about the recent spill culture in Australian politics. The damage to the Labor Party from the leadership challenges between Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard is obviously been well documented. But during that time in opposition, the coalition also switched leaders 3 times. Malcolm Turnbull was one of those leaders. To find out more on this, Mark Covine speaks next to the political correspondent Naomi Woodley.
I think, Mark, we're going to be looking very carefully at certain policy decisions, and probably the first one that comes to mind is climate change policy and emissions trading. Of course, it was Malcolm Turnbull's support for Kevin Rudd's carbon pollution reduction scheme, as it was known then, with some negotiated changes that led so many ministers to resign. It made his leadership untenable. And then, as we know, Tony Abbott became the then opposition leader by one vote. So we've heard today, we've had confirmed from Malcolm Turnbull's office, if he becomes the leader, he will be sticking to the announced party position on climate change targets. Similarly, he will be sticking to the announced party position on same-sex marriage, that is, a public vote, a plebiscite after the next election. So that's a clear signal that Malcolm Turnbull is reading the fact that there will be people in the party who don't want him to be leader, who still think he's too far to the centre to be the leader of what has been a very conservative coalition.
So if he becomes leader, it won't be because of a great tidal wave of support for Malcolm Turnbull. It will be a desperation move.
Absolutely. And I think that this is Malcolm Turnbull shoring up those people who have reading the opinion polls, as he's pointed to, and have said, look, you know, we acknowledge that Malcolm Turnbull in the public's eye is the most popular one. And if we want to save our seats, we've got to stick with him.
So let's hear a little bit more of what Malcolm Turnbull has said this afternoon.
Yeah, certainly. I've chosen a selection where he's talking about the values of the Liberal Party. So again, he's trying to reinforce the message to his own people. He doesn't want to change the party. He just wants to, as Louise mentioned earlier, better explain what the party's all about to the public.
Our party, the Liberal Party, has the right values. We have a hugely talented team here in the Parliament. Our values of free enterprise, of individual initiative, of freedom. This is what you need to be a successful, agile economy in 2015. What we have not succeeded in doing is translating those values into the policies and the ideas that will excite the Australian people and encourage them to believe and understand that we have a vision for their future.
Since the John Howard administration in the 1990s, the influence of moderate wings in the Liberal Party have been on the decline in federal politics. But the party's moderates, or wets, are confident that this will change with Malcolm Turnbull. They are hoping that as Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull will adjust the party's stance on issues such as climate change and gay marriage to better reflect the modern views of Australia. Michael Edwards has the story.
Moderates, wets, large L Liberals, call them what you want, but whatever term you like, one thing is for certain, their star could again be on the rise within the Liberal Party. Peter Collins is a former New South Wales opposition leader and one who readily accepts the description of being a moderate.
Yes, I would, and I think that's very much what Malcolm Turnbull is as well.
Under the Prime Ministerships of John Howard and Tony Abbott, the power of the party's progressive wing was on the wane. Its leaders were often marginalised as the party became increasingly conservative. Peter Collins is confident the voice of the wets will get more prominence with Malcolm Turnbull in the top job.
You don't want a party that is comprised fully of moderates or fully conservatives. I mean, the whole basis of the Liberal Party, going back to its inception and when it's performed strongest since its origins back in 1944, has been when you've got the balance right. I don't want to use the get into cliched phrases like broad churches and so on, but your best balance is when you've got both ends of the spectrum covered, and preferably you've got the bulk of your people, the bulk of your policies, and the bulk of your action in the middle of the political spectrum.
Greg Barnes is a former Howard government advisor turned vocal critic of the party he once served. He says Malcolm Turnbull faces a tough choice, either stand up to the right wing of the party or pander to it.
Well, it's a bit like the Republican Party in the US. You can either reach out to the Australian community at large, bring them with you and therefore get good polling results and say to your colleagues seeing that your message is getting out there. Alternatively, you can simply preach to the Tea Party equivalent in the Australian Liberal Party. And I think Malcolm Turnbull probably needs to do the former. You know, the right wing of the Liberal Party has been dominant for a long time. The more strident elements of the right wing of the Liberal Party have led it into the mess it's in today. And it's time for a recalibration and a resetting.
So far, Malcolm Turnbull hasn't flagged any drastic changes to government policy. This includes its stances on gay marriage and the environment. It seems to be a strategy to keep the party's conservatives on side. At a press conference in Sydney today, the spiritual father of the conservative wing of the party, John Howard, seemed to be comfortable with this.
Mr. Howard, Mr. Turnbull's considered a moderate within the party. Are you concerned that your conservative legacy will be under threat during his leadership?
No.
Is the party...
if I can ask, why is that? Do you think he'll stick by...
Well, you've asked me whether I think my legacy will be under threat from Mr. Turnbull. No, I don't.
What about on issues such as gay marriage or the environment?
Well, there's a position that the party has adopted on gay marriage, and Mr. Turnbull has said that he adheres to that position. And that position is, for the lifetime of this parliament, for it to be government policy to support the status quo, in other words, no change, and that after that there will almost certainly be a plebiscite. Now, that's the position that was embraced under Mr. Abbott, and Mr. Turnbull has said that he has the same view.
Do you think it'll be a good thing, though, if he gets a lot of moderate voters, moderate Liberals, back into the party's fold?
Well, I think there are a lot of moderates in the party at the moment. There were a lot of moderates in my cabinet. If you want to use that language, Mr. Turnbull was one of them. There's a little bit of rewriting of history in relation to this. There were moderates galore in the Howard era.
That was the former Prime Minister John Howard ending that report from Michael Edwards. As this story does continue, we will bring you the latest on it on the next edition of the program. Just a quick program note to those who are listening to us on 101.9 FM in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea. You can catch another edition of Focus Asia Pacific Saturday and Sunday mornings at 8 p.m. local time. That's at 8 p.m. local time on 101.9 in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. If you wish to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is very simple. It's focus@pcjmedia.com. Once again, focus at pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to this program again, as well as past editions, by visiting our website at any time by going to www.pcjmedia.com. Another quick program note, on the 30-minute weekly edition, the program that you're listening to right now, we will have a couple of special programs, and that'll be for October the 2nd and October the 9th. So just a quick reminder, the 30-minute edition of the program for October the 2nd and October the 9th will be special editions. On behalf of the whole team, as well as ABC Radio National for helping put together this program, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye. Yeah.